Hello and welcome to the Pueblo Star Journal's coverage of the mayor election. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Dennis Flores. Dennis, how are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. Thank you for this opportunity and thank you for having me here today.
Thanks for coming into the office. I'm excited.
No, I'm lucky that I found it this morning. I'm still trying to wake up.
Hey, I get that. It's early in the morning. So the Pueblo mayor race, this is the second strong mayor system election since we've gotten things figured out for that. And that is November the 7th. And 50% or more is needed for the winner, or else we do a runoff election following that. So,
yeah, and I don't know if anybody's given you the dates, but if somebody was a strong mayor candidate and they got more than 50% of the vote plus one, there would be no runoff.
Yep.
But with nine people running, it's unlikely that anyone is going to get that. So what'll happen, there'll be a second race.
Yep.
And that starts
just two.
It'll be the two top vote getters.
Yep.
Will then start their campaign on November 7th. And on January the 4th will be the actual election for who will become the mayor. The mayor will take the new mayor or the existing mayor, if he's the winner, will take office around February 1.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Dennis.
Sure.
All right. You ready to jump right in?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with, what would you like to see Pueblo look like at the end of your term if you were to be mayor? So 2028, what would you like to see Pueblo looking like?
Yeah, we have, I've often said that, you know, the mayor is really the cheerleader of the community. And one of the things that I've done, and I hope to do this formally in a marketing brochure, is that Pueblo has so many amenities that most of the state doesn't know. There are nine cities in the state of Colorado that have a population like Pueblo, 110 to 130. Cities like Westminster, Centennial, Wheat Ridge, cities like that.
Yeah.
And when you compare the amenities that we have in our community to these bedroom communities around the Denver metro area, there's no comparison. I mean, we have a university, we have a community college, we have the nicest ice arena, probably next to Vail. We have a raceway, which, you know, the people in Colorado Springs love.
Yeah.
So we have so many amenities like the Riverwalk, our lake, largest recreational lake in Colorado, that it's going to be easy to, at the end of my first 4 years, to highlight, you know, and really have a benchmark, because so many people do not understand that Pueblo was really destined to be a large city. In fact, you know, years ago, they thought it could have been the capital. But when you look at Memorial Hall and Hogue Hall and all of the Pueblo Symphony, I mean, I don't think people in our own community can appreciate that. And I will always be forward looking. The other thing that you may not know is that I created, with the help of the mayor and the city council, I was able to sell the idea of creating a dashboard. And one of the, you know, people say, well, how can we use this dashboard? Well, one of the things that we discovered in the dashboard, that about 4,000 jobs exist right today. It's hard when I tell people that, they cannot believe it. And we have about another 4,000 people that are unemployed. By the end of my term, I will focus so much energy on what's called workforce development. Train the people that are unemployed to fill all of these positions that we have. So you're going to see a much lower unemployment rate. You're going to see more people be able to access training and education to fill the jobs that are available. Right now, we could use 250 nurses. Right today, they would be hired in our community if they were available. You talk to Parkview Hospital or St. Mary Corwin, they have these roving nurses that just travel the United States and they're being paid big dollars. At the end of my term, I want to see a reversal of the decrease in permits on housing. I want to have a trajectory where we're going to be building and filling the gap of housing in the community. You know, I will be intimately involved with Petco and going out and not waiting for companies to call us. I think a mayor needs to be aggressive. You need to go tell your story, whether it's in San Diego or, Youngstown, Ohio, wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
So I will continue to advocate for that and be the cheerleader for Pueblo. It will be one of the things that I think that is different about me is that I love data. I love information. Mm. And so all of this will be provided. My successes, my failures, it doesn't matter to me. I will let the citizens know the condition of our community on a weekly basis as we have meetings. And I think at the end of the day, the data will speak for itself. Mm. And I want to tackle poverty. You know, we have the highest poverty rate in the state of Colorado and the nation. That's nationally, it's about 12%. In Pueblo, it's 16%. So I want to tackle that. And then my background in education, I was on the school board for 8 years, working with them. One of the big issues is homelessness. And I hope to make a dent on that. Sometimes people say, we want you to solve it. I don't know what that means. I think you need to manage it. Mm. But I have a strategic plan of what I'm going to do to kind of solve that problem.
Mm. Yeah, tell me about that. Because that was one of my later questions. Let's just jump to it. What would you do to address homelessness?
Let's talk about homelessness. Yeah. If you sit down and you start defining what homelessness is, and you start looking at what caused people to be homeless, there's three things that you will find the characteristic of homelessness. One is a lot of these people have mental health issues. Mm. Secondly, a lot of these individuals have an addiction of some sort, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol. And then thirdly, you also obviously, do not have a place to house them. And most communities were never in a position to deal with the homeless.
Sure.
But here's what's going to be different about me. If you look at, we were talking about nonprofits earlier. When you look at all of the nonprofits in this community that receive millions of dollars for addiction and for mental health, we need to bring those entities around a table. And, I am willing to look at this like a pie. And I think that the city has a slice of this pie. Mm. But when you look at people, the nonprofits, and even the profit motivated, mental health areas, they're bringing in millions of dollars to solve the mental health problem, including the nonprofits that deal with addiction. Mm. So the question becomes, they need to be part of the solution here. They're getting the money. They're dictating in their grants that they're dealing with the mental health thing. They should be proud of their successes. And so I want to bring all of these people so that we can have a comprehensive plan around the problem of homelessness by solving, the mental health issue and the addiction issue, along with the city looking at the entities too that provide housing. What can we do to house these people? How can we get them back into the economy to work and to, and put them back on their feet to get out of that cycle? It's a big issue nationally. It's amazing how much money is being spent with no successes. So I think we just need to try a different approach.
Yeah. Transitioning from that, like you mentioned, one of my questions as well is, what would you do to address affordable housing in Pueblo? So from that onto that, what does that look like?
Yeah. I've thought about this a lot. There has to be creative ways that we can help as a city government. We don't have all the answers.
Sure.
But one of there's a model right now, and I have a close relationship with NeighborWorks. They are going to start developing housing over off of 24th Street on Pueblo Boulevard. What they're doing is they're figuring out how can they get a young couple into a house with a lower house payment. And what they're doing is that they're now putting a lien on the land. So that, let's assume that you're looking at a $300,000 house. They cut out the $50,000 that maybe is for the land. I'm just using those as examples. Yeah. That $50,000 will not appear on your mortgage. So right off the bat, you got a reduction of, you know, potentially 20% of your house payment. But at a certain period, there's a forgiveness there. But you know, you're not, you know, you're still the owner of the house. There's a lien that is placed on that land, but it's removed from the mortgage. So that's one idea. The other thing is, you know, people, real estate people tell me that, you know, the interest rates can be bought down. You know, maybe we get involved as a community of helping our community, young couples or people that want to move into a house in trying to buy down the interest rate. You know, that's the one number one issue why permits in Pueblo County now are half of what they were a year ago. You have to be, if you're going to be the mayor, you've got to be creative. There's a couple of other things. We have a lot of empty lots, you know, within the city. We need to start infilling those lots. Why? Because we don't need to bring the infrastructure. One of the most costly things for developers is bringing in sewer, electric, water, all of those types of things. But if you find a lot within the community, that's already there. It's part of the infrastructure. So it reduces the amount of money you need to invest. The third thing we've done at the city is that you now have, if your lot size is big enough, you can put another house on an existing house. In the old days, they called these mother-in-law houses.
Yep.
Like in Nevada and Arizona, they call them casitas, which is a Spanish word for small house. But now if your lot size is big enough, you can now place a secondary residential property, build a house or a duplex or whatever, piece of land.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So there's lots of creative things that you can do. There's a lot of federal programs. I have a close relationship with the Housing Authority here in the city of Pueblo with NeighborWorks. We have our own Department of Housing, but we're going to have to start working, on these issues a lot smarter than I think we've been doing. And I'll be focused on this.
Interesting.
Throughout my term, if I'm lucky enough to be mayor.
Yeah. Well, I want to jump back to something you said earlier that was interesting to me. Sure. So you were talking about workforce development. You were talking about the idea of filling these jobs that are empty, you know, getting people to do that. Talk to me about what are the practical steps that you as the mayor could take to help that workforce development from there?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have in Pueblo, and I have a close relationship with both CSU Pueblo and PCC.
Yeah.
And we are very flexible, and we can put together quickly programs that will benefit industry, manufacturing, and even service work. And so, as an example, we just brought in through Petco a company that makes furniture. A lot of sewing involved in that. PCC was able to turn around and buy sewing equipment, industrial sewing equipment, and teach their workforce how to build this furniture, which involved a lot of industrial sewing. So we actually benefited, I think, immensely by having the flexibility and being able to turn around and develop these programs that that basically tells an industry that wants to move to Pueblo, hey, you need your people trained, we'll be a partner with you. And but as far as the workforce development, it seems to me that we also need to send a message to both PCC and to CSU Pueblo and any other training programs. Look at my dashboard. Look at the amount of jobs, okay, that are available in the city of Pueblo where they cannot be filled because we don't have people trained in them. Nursing is one, believe it or not. Truck driving is probably, the number, well, it's right below nursing. I mean, we cannot find, drivers. But I invite people to go to the city website and click on to economic dashboard. There's a lot of amazing areas in there. One of them, I hate to go back to housing, but this is an important point. My dashboard has indicated that the median price of a house in Denver is $650,000. In El Paso County, it's $480,000. And in Pueblo, Colorado, it's $330,000. Why are we not marketing the city of Pueblo for remote workers, as an example, that work out of their homes? I have several nephews, and my grandson he lives in Phoenix, but he works remotely. Why not move to Pueblo and get yourself a house? The Denver Post 2 months ago, front page, said that 80% of all renters of apartments cannot afford a house in Denver. I mean, it's crazy. And I think as mayor, I'm going to be marketing that disparity where a young couple, whether they want to relocate here or the remote workers or people that are retired, hey, sell your house in Denver and then buy yourself a better house in Pueblo and put the rest in your retirement plan if you're a senior. There are, I told you before, I mean, if I had my life to do over again, I'd go into the marketing business, because I think Pueblo is a gem to be marketing nationwide.
Well, let's jump over to what would you do to address crime in Pueblo as the mayor?
You know, the first thing is the fact that we have 50 slots right now and cannot fill them.
For police officers.
For police officers. We don't have the same problem in the fire department. Everybody wants to be a fireman, and it just seems, but anyway, going back to crime, whatever we're doing now is not working. Okay. We need to figure out what it is, that we cannot find enough police officers. We can't solve the crime problem by, you know, forcing our current workforce to work overtime or to cover larger territories without having a fully staffed police department. You know, we started working on this by providing, you know, getting their pay a little bit higher, helping them with their uniforms. But if what we've been doing to recruit police officers is not working, let's develop a different plan. And I plan on you know, looking for opportunities everywhere, not just hoping that it's going to solve itself. So I'm going to be focused on that. I think the other thing with crime, you know, crime is actually, believe it or not, in the areas of assaults and robberies and that's actually dropped in the last, well, what is it, 10 months has dropped about 13% in Pueblo. It's hard to imagine that, but we have a lot of petty crime that goes on, you know, especially in shoplifting. I want to form a task force in the police department where we know, you know, again, going back to data, we know the stores that are getting hit. We know that that people just walk out and don't even worry about being stopped, because most companies do not want their employees to get hurt. You know, they don't want a large workers' comp claim versus, so they just, and they'll actually fire an employee that goes after shoplifters. So it's almost like the old West here. And I think that we need to start looking at kind of identifying the stores that get hits constantly and maybe pick out one or two a week, and it's going to happen. So we'll have undercover police officers that will arrest these people. I did vote for increasing a penalty that if anyone steals over $300 and they're caught, they spend an automatic 3 days in jail, you know, before they're adjudicated and go forward. So we have to be strategic. We have to be, you know, I think we need to deal with morale. I think morale is tied into the fact that we have slots open. I don't know if you know this, but the community of Pueblo added 24 slots, you know. So when people said, are you going to defund the police? No, the citizens, and I'm along with them, we did not defund the police. Mm. We actually added 24 slots. The irony is that we can't fill them. And the police department is not the only. I mean, you talk to everybody, you talk to both hospitals, they cannot find people to work. We just have to be aligning everything. Workforce development is really aligning the unemployed with the jobs that are available. Universities and the community colleges, they need to be training people where their jobs are. Why are we training people where there is no jobs, or they're going to be obsolete because of robotics and all of that kind of stuff? We just have to be smarter.
Mm. Well, let's jump over to what's one issue that may not get a ton of attention that you would want to dig deeper into as the mayor? What's something that maybe isn't towards the front of our minds that you've been thinking about?
Boy, that's a good question. I'd never thought about that in that way. I know that, you know, I'd like to... you know, I'd like to kind of change the way that we recruit businesses. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of opportunities, you know, in what's called economic development.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough. Most people don't know this, but when you're on city council, you get to serve on other boards. Mm. I am the voting member on urban renewal. I'm a voting member on Petco, PACOG, which is really, we deal with transportation and road system. And then I recently was put on the Front Range Passenger Rail District, which is the dream of having passenger rail from Fort Collins to Pueblo. So yeah. When I look at what needs to be done within those organizations, number one on my list is Petco. And, you know, I am very pro Petco, and the citizens for 40 years have given us the opportunity, you know, to look, at primary jobs, that's the focus that we should be on, but companies are changing. All of our wording deals with employees. We incentivize these businesses as employees. There's a lot of companies. There could be 20 different companies that come together to build something. Mm. The one that I'm thinking of right now is Hyperloop, which is a train system. So it's obsolete for Petco to be talking about employees, because normally we're just dealing with one company. Now we're dealing with 20 companies that have come together with their expertise to build something. Mm. So we need to modify that a little bit. Urban renewal. Okay. Urban renewal. I've been on that since the 7 years that I've been on city council, and urban renewal made it made an opportunity for us by creating a TIF area for tax increment financing to salvage the rail mill at Avarez. Mm. So what happened is that we were able to float $93 million under tax increment financing to incentivize Avarez Steel to stay in Pueblo. There was rumors that if we didn't get this long rail mill done, that we may have lost the whole mill. Mm. And they would have moved everything out. And so I'm very proud of that accomplishment, because I was on the finance committee and I was part of that decision in floating those bonds. I'd like to have a closer relationship with Colorado Department of Transportation. We have this, you know, the I-25 that goes through our city. I'd like to see them have more responsibility in cleaning up I-25 as another idea. We need to deal with this, because go to communities up north, especially Highlands Ranch or Sterling Ranch. You don't see that kind of weeds and trash on the road. What is it about those communities that have the power to do that with CDOT? And why isn't it for Pueblo? I will be a champion for Pueblo. I will fight for Pueblo. Until we get answers to a lot of these questions. It's like the recent, railroad accident that just happened.
Yeah.
You know, that bridge was built in 1958, although it wasn't the bridge now. I guess they said it was a track. I kind of feel like we're neglected in so many areas of Colorado government, that I will be the chief lobbyist. We do have a lobby group now that helps us, and they've been tremendous. But I'm going to be at the forefront of testifying at the state legislature, fighting for Pueblo, fighting for things that maybe we haven't fought before. But I'll be involved in the state legislature so that they don't forget that we exist down here. Mm.
Well, I think my last question for you, Dennis, is what's special about Pueblo? What's something good that's going on that catches your eye?
Well, I often say that there's so many. We talked about the amenities earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, when you compare Pueblo to these other communities our size, all of these, they would be envious of the fact that we have a symphony that's been here for 95 years, or that we have a beautiful arts community. And, my daughter and my wife were involved in ice skating, figure skating. We have one of the most beautiful ice arenas, and we now have a contract with the Bulls. Yeah. And they continue. One of the things that I asked them, I says, you got to continue figure skating, and they have. But you have all of these amenities that we have, and we don't appreciate them sometimes. But I think the number one thing that we have in this community is a strong work ethic. We are kind of fighters, and we're, you look at the amount of veterans that we have in this community. I know that I was drafted back in, back in the late 60s during Vietnam, and I landed up a Vietnam veteran, but you never saw many protests back then and people saying, we're not going to do it. We were very loyal to the government and to the fact that we had a duty to do, and we did it. So I love the fact that we have strong work ethic, that we have a strong veteran community, that we have kind of unique food that you don't find any place else in Colorado. There's so many things that's unique about Pueblo, and I don't care where you go, you're accepted, you're accepted as, the way that, that we treat one another. I think that we're a very friendly community. The only thing that sometimes happens that I hope to stop is some of the worst critics of Pueblo have lived here in Pueblo. I've lived during my military career. I lived in a lot of places because I bounced around.
Yeah.
Pueblo is unique and very friendly, and a place that you can raise a family. You never want to say anything bad anywhere because, it's such a tight community that you basically sometimes are shocked that, how close. You're my cousin, huh? Yeah, I didn't realize that. But, it's such a close-knit community. I would love to be the mayor here. We didn't talk about my experience, but, I've had over 30 years of government experience. I was on the Board of Governors for the CSU system. I was appointed by Governor Hickenlooper, 8 years on the school board. This is my 7th year on city council, and I've served on about 20 other. I had a job in which I had the ability to be able to serve the community. And I just love working civically to help our community, grow and prosper. I feel I have a great track record, and I don't mind saying that I probably have more qualifications for the job of mayor than any of the other 8 people running. And I would put my record up against any of them, including the current mayor. That's how strongly I feel. and I feel that I could do a good job, and I'm ready to hit the ground running. I don't know if I answered your question.
That's great. Thank you, Dennis. How can people connect with you if they're listening to this? And
I have a website. It's Dennis for Mayor. And then I also have a Facebook account called Dennis Flores for Mayor. And I've got a lot of information in there. I filled out a very large questionnaire the other day, and it's appearing there. It gives a lot of, maybe some of the same answers I'm giving you. Several testimonials of people I've worked with, really kind of a guide of you know, who I am.
Perfect.
So I'm an open book, and in a lot of ways you get to see me Mondays, and I'm kind of a known quantity here, in that a lot of people can, you know, they can see how I react. I think one of the things that we, I'll close with this, is that, you know, if I become mayor, the culture, the collegiality, and the environment between the mayor and the city council, I will work hard. I will never attack people. I will attack public policy if I don't think it makes sense. But, you know, we have to change the culture. We get so much more done when we're respectful, and when we're courteous, and when we are professional in what we're doing. And I hope to change that culture.
Dennis, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I can't thank you enough. I think it's important that the citizens know, you know, who they're voting for. And I'm going to be number two on the ballot, kind of like Avis and Hertz Rent-A-Car, but I will be number two on the ballot. And I hope that I can get the support of the community. And I promise I'll work hard for them.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. And then also, if you're listening to this, I'd also encourage you, go check out some of the other podcasts of the other mayor candidates, get your vote informed, see who you like, and then go, you know, dive into more of what their policies are and what they're thinking, who they are. So
Ben, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Dennis, thank you for coming in. And thank you guys for listening. This has been a Pueblo Star Journal podcast. Have a great rest of your day.